Yo, what's going on, everyone? Welcome to this week's episode of Rubber City 93. I'm your host, as always, Elliot Barnes. Joining me are two guys that are ready to put this season far, far, far away into the deep reaches of our memory. Is Mr. Matt Myers and Shanier Duran II. How are you guys doing on this first Sunday of NFL football?
Sure.
Yeah.
I'm trying to at least start it off somewhat positive. I'm trying. I mean, where do we even start with this? Let's do the Shadir. Just lose internet connection.
Right. He's got the best idea here. You know, cut out right away. Very symbolic.
Very symbolic.
Actually, no, not true. We're first half of this episode will be solid, if not if not remarkable, and then we'll just punt.
Yeah. We'll do that. Just be like, yeah, we don't need to talk about it. So let's go ahead and take the Band-Aid off. First half, you had.
Lineup was different, right?
Yeah. You still have Bentley. Obviously, we know Belmar left. He's with the national team in Granada. I did watch the game on Friday. He looked decent. He looked good with him. He had a couple of shots on goal.
Yeah, they got a draw, which I think is a good result for them to try to stay up in their group.
Yeah. So that was a positive for him. But yeah, let's see. You had O'Dwyer starter. On the week, it looked like I think Matt, you probably called it the best. It looked like a 4-5-1 or a 4-1-4-1 for the most part. But yeah, Bentley on top, O'Dwyer, Neil, Suko, and
Zhao and Zaka.
Yeah, Zhao and Zaka. And then the same back four we've seen. No real changes there with Akira starting in between a goal. First half, I was pleasantly surprised. There were a few moments that got me up off my seat. There were a few moments where I thought, like, all right, we can make something happen here. I don't know why I do this to myself every time with the kickers this year, where something happens in the first half, and I'm like, all right, maybe we can sneak out of the point. Maybe we can sneak out and win. And it don't happen in the second half. But there was hope.
Yeah, the first half, looked decent. I think having all those midfielders in there, especially on that small field, helped out. Normally, always like to get it really wide, out to the wings and try to let them do something out there, or let, Hornsby and Fitch do something out there. There's not that much out there. No. So I think just kind of piling it, all nice and tight helped out. And, some more guys who are used to kind of some of these connected passes that, right or wrong, Darren, Mika and crew are, set on us being a possession team. So having more guys who are at least nominally possession oriented, it helped. There's, I think, a little bit cleaner, passing out of the back and through the midfield. Didn't see as many of, the pass, this game, probably because there's nobody up there to chase it. So that problem fixed itself. But I think the flip side of that is when the ball did get into some of those dangerous spots, maybe it didn't get to the guys who would have loved to have it in the situations. Like I'm thinking about a time when Chandler got the ball, maybe 6 yards, from goal, a little bit wide. If it's Sierkowski, if it's Bentley when he's playing on the wing, if it's Gordon Belmar, happy to take my chances with one of them, but maybe not Chandler's most natural position.
No. No, it's not. Shanair, your thoughts on the first half?
First half, like you said, it looked like we were figuring things out, and I'm kind of just to piggyback off what both of you guys said. Just it was a very smart idea to go with that many midfielders on a hallway of a pitch. And you could see like a lot of the players that are technically based on the formation were supposed to be wide getting involved a lot in the middle third of the field, and the outsides were just kind of used as extra passing space and not as channels. And just the amount of players, just all the players that were on the field that kind of gave us that crowd in the midfield. It looked kind of more like a 4-5-1 of sorts, and with Gomero and O'Dwyer kind of more meshing with Suko and Vinyals, sometimes even Zaka when he would venture forward a little more. So, yeah, I mean, first half looked like we were trying to figure certain things out. It was a very even game. The first half wasn't boring by any stretch, but we weren't able to convert any chances.
Yeah, no, we weren't able to convert any chances. There was one slightly hair-raising moment, and it kind of came back to bit us in the second half, right around the 30th minute, where Union Omaha was on a breakaway. By the way, number 28 for Union Omaha, we need that. Like, we don't have that kind of speed on this team at all, because there was a couple of times, like, where he was just zooming past our players, and it looked like they were standing still. But, yeah, he gets the ball on the outside, cuts it back. And here I thought, I was like, all right, this is going to be the end of the game. Union Omaha is going to score here, and we're going to struggle to create more chances. But some way, somehow, Union Omaha missed every single chance to put that ball into the back of the net in the 30th minute. And we close out the rest of the half pretty much nil-nil. Pun intended. Moving on into the second half. I thought we had another chance to probably put our fingerprint on the game. It just felt like we were creating chances, but nobody was getting close to finishing those chances. Or like it just felt like Union Omaha's goalkeeper kind of had like an easy night. You know, he didn't have to worry about anything dangerous coming to him. Maybe like one clearance or something like that. But outside of that, he didn't really face any dangerous shots from us that I can remember. Do you guys remember anything else different?
Not especially, no. I mean, I think it's kind of been what our usual, effective attack has been of, let Ani launch a long throw, in there and hope something works out. Didn't work out on his long throws this time, or, hope we get a corner and somebody can get a head on it that way. But, yeah, if we're talking about through open play, never really felt like a goal was coming.
No, it didn't. It didn't.
Yeah, seriously, with the way the kicks were playing, throughout the whole game, it always felt like, ooh, something's coming until we reach the final third, and then all of a sudden it looks like the boys just run out of ideas. They have no idea what to do in the final third, and I think that's where our biggest issue is. Because some of the work in the midfield was very good with the ball. There was a point in the first half where Hornsby literally just carved a way through that left half space and just carved a way through like three or four of Union Omaha's players. And then it's like, all right, he got into the box. He's almost at the byline. He just cooked four or five guys. Now what? And it was just that was literally what it was the whole game. Some great stuff. Ooh, it looks like we're going to create a chance. And they just don't know how to create that actual chance.
Yeah. It's nothing wrong having wingers. I mean, not wingers. Fullbacks that are creative, but you can't have them be the fulcrum of your creative chances. you kind of looking for your wingers who are supposed to be your attacker. Your creative players do that, but this team doesn't have that. So, let's talk about the goals that happened. First goal, 57th minute. Corner kick. And I should have put it in the chat earlier, but guys, I don't think Akira has it anymore. I'll be the first to say it. I think Father Time has caught it with Akira.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if this game's the game to make that judgment. I don't necessarily disagree with you, but I don't know if this is the time for that. I think it helps if, we don't let guys have completely free runs off corners to be able to get, headers on, frame. That would be nice.
Well, yeah, that's true. Bentley, I don't see how Bentley lost his man and then got upset. Like, the guy was in front of you. Like, he was in front of you. If you put any kind of pressure on him, that header is going either over the crossbar or he's missing it. He gets a free header. And what I'm saying is, like, that I think Akira's Father Time's catch up with Akira. It's just simply put on a part of, like, Akira of last year or years past would have made that save or at least got in a hand to it. You know, I don't know. Might have been a different shot on that, but I don't know. It's just, I don't have the same confidence in Akira of making the saves like he did in years past.
I mean, that's fair.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, with this one, I don't know if camera angle may have something to do with it, but it did seem suspiciously soft. With the way that ball came in, it did seem like probably should have gotten that covered. But I know from the camera angle if it took any deflections off of anybody on the way in there, and our camera angles aren't that great in USL League One. It's not like they can get a close-up from behind the goal or something where we would really see how that ball traveled, but it did seem suspiciously soft.
Yeah.
I feel like somebody got a piece of it somewhere because it looked like the ball ended up in the roof of the net, and just on how he headed it, doesn't seem like it could have got there naturally. So I don't know if – but, yeah, you couldn't tell from the camera of – was it, an attempted clearance? Was it, Akira getting a piece of it but not enough of it?
I think that's what happened. I think Akira probably got a piece of it, just not enough of it to keep it out of the goal. It just bounces back up. So I think that's probably what happened.
I feel like you might be a little influenced by some of those charts we saw, midweek that maybe didn't put Akira in the, greatest light. So, that's unconscious bias, there, but I wouldn't be surprised. Maybe a little bit of that, kind of crept into your mindset.
Yeah, it did. It wasn't the best. I mean, the charts that we're talking about came from, what's his name? John Morrissey, I think it is.
Yeah.
On Twitter. But he put out some charts just detailing like how goalkeepers been over the course of the year it was saves or something else, but Akira was near the bottom of it. And I went to go look on USL League One and just look at his save percentage and shots saved over between this year and last year. And it's fallen off dramatically. That's what just has me thinking, like, it might be time to move on. Not move on. And we signed up for 2 years, but maybe see what, like, once again, there's no harm to see what Will got. You got 5 games left. Playoffs are done. See what he got. Give him the next 4 games at home and just see.
Right. Yeah. Well, another thing we have to always look. I look at the stats, and I always say, what's the big picture around these stats? Because what I do also notice with the kickers this year compared to last year is this year, because our attacking threat has seriously been diminished. I don't know if there may be a possibility that what's affecting Akira's numbers is the fact that other teams are having better quality chances against him than they were last year. because if you're just going by saves, if someone hits a hopeful ball from 20 yards out, he's going to take that out of the air. Thank you very much. That's a free save. So there were a lot of long-range shots on the kickers last year compared to this year. We did see a few screamers go in on us this season, but I feel like last year there were a lot of guys there were a lot of teams we were playing against where that's all we gave them. We only gave them the low percentage chances, and those are a lot easier to save. So Akira's numbers are beefed up by that. And this season it's like now where these guys are, because our defense is literally under the cosh the whole game, because our attack isn't as potent, are we getting Akira facing more high percentage shots than he was last year?
Possibly, but I mean, also in that, like, I don't have the same confidence in Akira just making the saves that he did like last year. You know, like he can still occasionally make like
the last
a super save. Yeah, last two. Like he can still make a super save. Like we saw it. What was the home game we had recently? God, I'm drawing a blank on who we played at home recently. But he made a couple of Fuego. He made a couple of good saves in that game, but it was also like some of the goals we gave up. It was like, Akira should have got that. You know?
Yeah.
But, that's probably going to be a talking point in the offseason that I'm sure we're going to talk about. Other than that, the kickers also gave him a second goal in this one.
I don't know if you heard, but it sounded like the commentator at the ESPN was saying that he just recently signed a new deal as player coach.
Yeah, a 2-year deal. Yeah, you missed that last week. Yeah, that was like, what, a week or two ago, Matt?
Yeah, at least.
At least a week or two ago. Yeah.
Okay.
Two-year deal.
So I just wanted to make sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So he'll be the new Ronnie Pascal. In a sense. But second goal we gave him in this game, this one a little bit more frustrating. Defense gets broken away, same guy, number 28. And I will say this, the back four did their part. They held up, they slowed up play. Mm-hmm. I put this more so on the midfield just because of the lack of tracking back, even so much that Luis Gil is able to take two touches, settle himself, and take a shot that catches Akira flat-footed. But by the end of the shot, you just see three midfielders just slowly walking up, like walking back. Like there's no sense of urgency. And then on top of that, there's no one like – and granted, as a fan, we might not see this. And it's probably happened behind closed doors. But it doesn't feel like anyone is like – getting on them for that accountability sake. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. What's your guys' thoughts on the second goal that the kickers gave up in this game?
I view it the same way you did. The defense did what they were supposed to do. They tried to slow down the play, and they did slow things down. But then it's up to our midfield three. And I think in this situation, if I am not mistaken, it was probably Suko who was supposed to be covering Gil. It was supposed to be tracking back and tracking that late crash in the box. And after the shot goes in, that's when he comes into frame jogging. And yeah, that's I understand it's the 82nd minute, but you're only 1-0 down, and in terms of possession, you're doing better. I would hope that in that situation, I would have expected that to be a little more of a sense of urgency, like don't let them get another one, don't let this slip away. But
I mean, we haven't seen it during this streak that this team's been on the last couple of weeks, past 2 months. Just been the lack of urgency. You know, it comes back to bite us in the butt again. I mean, this is, like I said earlier, it's a common copy of the chance that they missed in the first half. It's literally just the same chance. First one, we was able to get away with it. The team isn't good enough to get into that same mistake twice. But one thing, Matt, that I will tip my hat to Darren and to this team is they didn't give up. You know, it's very easy for them just to be like, all right, cool, we're down 2-0. We're not going to create any more chances. But they still try to create chances, and even so more so, they got a goal off of the throw-in. Even though it was an own goal, they still got a goal. At least they didn't get shut out clean sheet.
I hear what you're saying. I'm going to disagree with a portion of that.
That's fine.
No, wasn't asking for permission. I think Darren did give up at that point. You know, you're at the 82nd minute. You know, you made no change at that point, and you're down a goal. Then it's probably because you don't think you have anything on your bench that can change the game by then. Because why wouldn't you have made a change at that point, right? Then you go down 2-0 and make 5 subs all at once. To me, that's saying, all right, forget this. We're not coming back. You 5, go run around for 10 minutes.
Yeah. And who was it? It was Meacham, Beckett Howell, Landon Johnson, Chris Cole.
Simmons went in. Johnson didn't get in.
Yeah, I bet for not Johnson. Simmons. Sirikowski. There we go.
Yeah.
Yeah, no Gordon on the bench either. So, I mean, yeah. That's how the game kind of played out.
Nice that the guys, you know, hustled there at the end. We got, you know, fluky own goal, you know, because Chris Cole can also throw the ball far and it's a small field. So, you know, your boy Shaft Brewer, you know, kept on going with his tryout, you know, for the kickers and put one in his own net, you know, for us. Cool.
Yeah.
I mean, it is one of those things, though, those throw ins, especially on a narrow field like that, they're always really awkward, especially for the defense. Really awkward to do. Just Brewer just was a victim of that awkwardness and just puts it in the back of his own net.
It's
done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Outside of that, game ends. Now, Belmar, do you think he will be back in time for the Madison game? Or do you think Darren just keeps him out for that game as well? Because I think they play Tuesday.
If they're playing Tuesday, he's not going to be there. Well, he's not going to be ready to play Thursday.
Oh, yeah. So, Belmar won't be there. I'm assuming, because I've heard this at the watch party last night, they're not coming back to Richmond. They're going straight on to Madison. So, whoever this squad is there. I don't know who else flew out, but, I mean, at this point, how does Darren get this team prepared for a derby match on Thursday night?
One thing that's concerning me is no Belmar, no Gordon. The only serious winger we have is Sirikowski. And that was fine for this game when we were playing on a high school in a high school hallway rather than a pitch. But when we're actually playing on a regular size field, we're going to need that width. We kind of basically only have Sirikowski unless he plans to.
Well, you got Landon Johnson as well. You got Landon.
Yeah. But like you said, this is a derby and
I mean,
you're
going to
want more experience for that.
At this point, put the kid out there and see what he can do. Like,
I guess. I mean,
yeah. Like, at this point, put him out there. See what he can do. Like, I don't know. Like, I want to feel like this team is going to be up for it. Like, they're going to be proud on the line. Like, there's never been a sweep in the Hitty Derby, but I'm starting to question it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a rough going for the past couple of months with the way things have been going for the Kickers. It's just, I don't know.
Now, I will say this. The one thing that's
When you look at, when you look at the fact that literally in our past five games, we basically have almost the Central Valley. I count that as a loss with them literally holding up the table. I count that as a loss. That shouldn't have been a 3-3 draw. I mean, we shouldn't have been hemorrhaging goals in that game the way we did. So, five straight poor performances, and we're going into a derby.
Well, I take that the Lexington game wasn't a poor performance. That should have been a draw. I will stand on that. That game should have been a draw. It's just,
does that really change the point though?
No, but it wasn't a poor performance. I just stand on the fact that Dak had to make that foul. But no, it doesn't change it. Yeah, I mean, I guess if you want to say the only thing that's kind of in our favor, slightly in our favor, is that Madison's coming on five games winless streak as well. Like, August 12th, they lost to One Knox. Then they lost to Tormenta 4-2. 4-4 draw with Fuego. A 3-1 loss to Chattanooga. And then another 0-0 draw with One Knox. But in that game, they had two red cards to Cheney and Chiro. So they'll be one out those people. Coming into the game with us. So, yeah, it's – I don't know. I'm trying to find something positive, Matt, but I'm struggling.
I mean, weird stuff happens in these games sometimes. You know, so maybe we'll get the 0-0 out of there and maybe steal one off of a throw or a corner somewhere along the way.
Maybe so.
Maybe so.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
Do you think Akira gets to start in this?
Probably.
Okay. I'm assuming it's going to be the same back four.
Yeah.
I'm cool seeing a midfield three of Zaka, Neil, and Zhao. And Shiner, to your point. To put Sierakowski and Landon out there and Bentley and gotta go that way.
Yeah, I think. And even though there was not a lot of products with what we saw from Bentley, is if Sierakowski goes in guns blazing and Landon runs around like he does, along with how dogged Bentley is on a high press, we might be able to rattle their defense. I don't know. I'm hoping, because that's the one thing that I noticed from Bentley, is that workhorse mentality. That there were several times in this game against Union Omaha where he literally was bullying their back four. Like, whenever they get the ball, scrambling to get away from him, and not necessarily get the ball away from him, just to get away from him, because he was just on their tails. Literally anytime the ball was back there, he was trying to jump on top of them. Several times he stole the ball in the final third from either this one of the center backs or the fullback. You pair that with Sierakowski and Landon, maybe something might come of it if the midfield cooperates.
Mm-hmm. They also have a new midfielder for Matt, that pink team with Ozzy Ramos. So that's a new addition for them. Any predictions from you guys on how this game's going to turn out? I don't
think it'll be 0-0 at halftime. We'll be like, oh, that wasn't a bad half. You know, I wonder if they can keep it up. We'll get into the 60-something minute. It won't be kept up. And then we'll just, you know, be hoping for set pieces.
Yeah.
Because I've watched this movie for the last two months.
Sounds about right.
Sounds about right. I'm officially, I have gotten away from, oh, this team just needs a soft rebuild, to it's time to gut this team. Just gut it. Like, at the core of it, and I don't know attitude-wise, I haven't heard anything. I haven't heard of any infighting or anything like that. Just seeing what I've watched on the field.
The culture's great. Haven't you heard, you know, maybe a little too much? The culture's great.
Yeah, like, just from watching it, it's time. It's time just to clean house. Just start anew.
Yeah.
Because honestly, like, to be real with you, this team has not looked good since that loss against Chattanooga in the playoffs.
You're just claiming they played well 2 games ago against Lexington.
Well, in the midst of this losing streak, yes. But, and that's what a draw. But yeah, like, they haven't looked right since then. Like, I don't know if this team was punch drunk coming into the season still or what. But
no, I don't think so, because when you look at how they lost that playoff game, we have different issues now. And it's like, actually, to the contrary, we started off the season completely different.
I'm not talking about like on the field. So I'm just talking about like mentally. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
you lose a game like that. Like, you know, can you overcome it? Can you clean the slate, get back focus? And
I don't think that's it.
I don't know.
Yeah, because they would have been hiding that for a long time. Because
maybe so.
They were playoff. You know, team the whole first half of the season, they weren't like spectacular, but they were solidly in the playoff spots for an entire half the season, and then the bottom completely fell out.
I mean, it really just, the depth in this team is not there. Like, it's not, and that's something that needs to be addressed for next year along with the attacking play. But yeah, I mean, Shanair and Matt, where do you guys fall in? Do you think it's a soft reboot, or are you more in line with burning down and just start anew?
I think one of the elements that we're seeing here is the situation with Emmy. I think one of two things: either he's been found out, or he don't got it no more. And I don't think the rest of the team realized that for most of this season, and they are still completely depending on him to score the goals. And it's like, you're depending on someone who's either been found out or no longer has it to score your goals. We're not going to be doing all that well. And lo and behold, here we are towards the end of the season, and we are in 10th.
Yeah.
So I don't know if we need to we need to find a striker who's hot. We need to find someone for those have to find the net. And when we do that, then there's a possibility that maybe the other pieces kind of fall into place. Maybe we get one or two reliable wingers who can also pop and goal. So now we condition the team not to rely on one person for goals, because that's what it's been for the last 3 years with Emmy. It's like, three-time MVP winner, three-time Golden Boot winner, he's going to score our goals. So it's all on him.
I mean, yeah, and credit to last year. I mean, you have multiple goals. You have Belongers. You have Bentley putting in goals. You had Gordon, Nail. You had guys putting in goals, even Ethan Bryant. But this year, that hasn't happened at the heights. Matt, what about you? Where are you loud with it?
I mean, I think they could use a refresh. I don't think Darren will do that. You know, I think Darren has his boys. I think, you know, he's too concerned about culture, you know, to worry about, you know, any of that, you know, anything else. You know, look who's getting these long-term contracts. You know, does Chris Cole need a long-term contract? No, but he's one of his Washington State boys, so he gets it. You know, I don't have anything personally against Chris Cole, but is that the priority to lock down? Come on. And that's not just a right now saying it. You know, in the offseason, if you had said, hey, there's going to be 7-8 guys, you know, getting locked down to multi-years, is that a guy you're putting on the top of your list?
No.
No, he brought, if he brings back
Brave,
brings back David Olsen again, the hell's that? Yeah, so.
Yeah, this is what, year two of David Olsen, he still has yet to see the field?
Yeah, I mean, he scored in the Oakland Cup game last year against the amateur team. Cool. Is Darren's Washington State well running dry because he's been gone from there too long? He doesn't know all the guys coming up anymore. I don't know. He talks about how this is a hard season for him because he's a winner. Is he? Or did he have one good team? Because Tucson wasn't a winner. First year here, they fell apart at the end of the year when they were locked into that top two spot and then just absolutely crapped it, for most of the for the last six games. You know, 2021, they had to go on a late run to get in the playoffs, and they still tried their hardest to blow that at the end of the year, out in Omaha and Tucson.
I'm not going to lie, man. That is probably still my most, favorite memory of since doing that podcast, just the elation of knowing that Toronto blew it, so we got in and we didn't have to win. Was hilarious. Yeah.
But you look at last year too. Okay, yes, last year went mostly well. Go back, look down the stretch, see what those results actually were.
Yeah, the final stretch. Yeah,
a lot of draws.
Yeah,
had the one win at Madison. Darren talks a lot of stuff, but, he says, oh, blame me. But there's never any details that come out with that, are there? He doesn't talk about how he doesn't get them, prepared or what he's going to do to fix it. He talks some, empty platitudes. What has Connor Cappelletti brought to this team? Is Mika focused this year with his, extra role with all the youth stuff? I think the coaching staff got to, get a hard look at this because, a non-talented team doesn't fluke into 6-6-4, to start the year, right? Say you might be able to fluke into a little above your weight. You don't fluke that high up right now. It's on the coaching staff that this team is absolutely crashing and burning to, I haven't looked this up, but what I have to imagine is unseen levels, in this league, I'd be shocked if 11 games without a win isn't at least at the very close to breaking a record, if it's not already broken one. What's the coaching staff doing to fix all this, other than preaching about culture and preaching about possession, which, as we talked about a couple episodes ago, is a stat that is consistently proven to be ineffective in this league.
Yeah.
Right. You look at the stats, right? With this game, we had the lion's share of the possession. Did we win? No. Did we create more chances? No.
Yeah. And I'll just cap it off because we'll probably go talk about this more later on. The last couple of years, been at games, and there's been a couple people, won't say who they are, just ask me, what do you think about the coach? And I'm like, not bad, not bad. And now I'm thinking, back and wonder if they were, trying to have that be a leading question somewhere.
I mean, I'm pretty sure there's going to be a lot of questions to be asked in this offseason. And I mean, it's going to be a pivotal year because you can't have, maybe this year is just a year gone awry. Days don't break your way, whatever. But if we get these same results in next year, then it's definitely going to be some different questions.
Yeah, I guess we can say it depends on what happens this offseason. What are we going to see coming into next season how is the coaching staff going to react to the collapse of this season?
Yeah.
What is the club going to do? Like, in terms of scouting, you know, acquiring new players, where are we going to try and strengthen? Where are we going to try and get depth? How are we going to do it? And if we come up with a bunch of a list of no names that we're just trying to get in there just to fill the numbers, then we know it's like, all right, you guys are out of ideas.
Well, we won't know their names anyway, because at this level, you never know who you're kidding. But nah, I get your question.
I'll just finish my little commentary off with style of play. I think this year most resembles the Beulah year, right? With this, right, and not a great season overall, right? And you know, I think, you know, personality elements aside, we could probably agree that, all right, it was probably right move to move along from David. Is it where I thought it was? So I'll own that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That team in 28 games had 32 points. This team has played, I believe, 27 games this year. Yeah. 28 points. So even if they win on Thursday, they'll be a point behind that team's pace.
And it's funny enough, when you look at that 2019 team and this team, there's a lot of similarities. Like, no sense of idea attacking-wise, very poor transitional defending, giving up loose goals left, right, and center. A team that looks out of his depth, a coach that looks out of his depth. Both teams have very bad losers, even though the 2019 had the 7 straight games with no goals scored and losses. This team at least is scoring in losses and a couple of draws mixed in there. But yeah, it's a lot of similarities, and it's not getting any better. You know, it's just, yeah. I'm sorry, listen, we're not trying to be Debbie Downers, but it's the reality of it. You know, it's the reality of it. We said we weren't going to do 50 minutes, and look at us, we're almost there now.
Is there anything else to even talk about at this point, though?
I don't know. I don't feel like it is. Not really. Well, I will say this, though, that the Red Army, despite all of this, is still going to be coming out strong. They're having a prom season tailgate. So if you want to know more about that, what you going
to
say?
I think it's framed as homecoming. Also seems like a stupid idea to me, but whatever.
Gosh. I mean, look, someone got to have fun in that stadium, and why not be us? Like you always say, Matt, despite what's going on.
I have fun at the stadium.
Yeah. I mean, we got to have fun with it. Whatever. Whatever happens, happens. Look, may the chips fall where they may. At this point, I just want the kids to do good. Like, I just want to watch the kids, see what they got. That's it. Anything else?
Yeah. It's all about the kids right now. It's all about the young talent and where they can get some games under their belts before we go into the off season.
Yeah. So as listeners, we just want to say thank you for taking the time out of your day for listening to our show. Normally this show is very positive, and we try to give you the outlook of the team in every which way we can, but it's hard to do that at this point. But with that being said, we just want to say thank you guys for taking time out of your day for listening to our show. If you want to keep up with the show, just make sure to follow us at rivercity93.com on Instagram, Twitter, I think it's called X now, or on your favorite podcast app. With that being said, once again, we will holler at you guys next week. Be easy, be safe as always, and up the ruse.